Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y también
good afternoon. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and also to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are gathered in the different countries and who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite in the different countries and other means of communication. Today, Friday, June 11 of this year, 2025. Our subject is When the Omnipotent Speaks, Miracles Happen. It was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Saturday, June 11 of 2016 in Valencia, Venezuela. And let's search the scripture there that he read to us of Isaiah 55, verse 6 and on, where it tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There at the end of that sentence, he writes, Romans 11:33-34. And on the left side, he takes from 8 to 9, that is from verse 8 to verse 9, like a dash, and in the center, he places a small line, as if to point to these scriptures that he places there on the left side at the top, which is Isaiah 66:3, Proverbs 15:19, Revelation 1, from 1 to 2, 22:6, and 22:16. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. There, in bread to the eater, there, at the end of eater, he writes Revelation 2, verse 17, "So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return into me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And there he goes again and makes, what I told you, a dash from 10 to 11, and in the center he joins them, and a little line like this pointing on the left side, where there are also several scriptures above. John 1:1-18, or 2:16, it's a little faded there. Exodus 23, verse 20-23, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, 10:15-19, and Jeremiah 1:12. "For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the beer shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." And he draws to the left a star of David, and he writes upwards, name. When the Omnipotent speaks, miracles happen. You may please be seated. In the message, The Mystery of the Adoption, which he preached to us on January 3 of 1999 in Calle, Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto Santiago says, "And now, the things that will be happening at this end time will be testifying of the one who will come after the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. Christ came manifested in each angel messenger, and for the last day, he will come manifested in his angel messenger in the age of the cornerstone." An angel, remember, is a messenger. And now, that is, the messengers of the ages were also called angel messengers, because they are sent. Those spirits of prophets are sent to earth for God through His Holy Spirit to manifest in that age and in that dispensation the work that God would be fulfilling He would be carrying out what he promised through that instrument, that prophet. And now, look what the forerunner of the second coming of Christ tells us here, speaking about John the Baptist and the parallel between John the Baptist and the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. He says, let's read on page 326 from the Book of the Ages in English, and it says, and Jesus himself, in returning, will authenticate him even as he authenticated John. And Brother William says, meaning, he will vindicate, he will confirm that Reverend William Branham is the forerunner of his coming. Even as he authenticated John, John witnessed that Jesus was coming, and so will this man like John witness that John is coming. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was the forerunner of his second coming. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet, that this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4, for the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. Then it will be too late for those who have rejected him. Already there he writes, in this blue book he writes the final evidence, and also on top of end of the Gentile period, he writes of the dispensation of grace. And on the left, he also draws a cornerstone and the ages and the seventh age in this blue one. Now, he goes on to say, our Brother William goes on to say, here we can see that the forerunner of the second coming of Christ has been testifying that Christ will come. Who is the forerunner of the second coming of Christ? Reverend William Marion Branham. And when Christ finishes his work of intercession in heaven, he will leave the throne of intercession and will manifest himself in all his fullness in human flesh through a veil of flesh that he will have at the last day as a messenger of the age of the cornerstone and of the dispensation of the kingdom. In other words, when he leaves the throne of intercession, takes the title deed, and gives it to that last messenger. Therefore, that last messenger has to be on earth so that when he has carried out that work of redemption there on the heavenly throne in the seventh dimension, that is, when the last elect has been completed, he would rise up from that throne and he would be a lion, because in his claiming work he comes as a lion, not as a lamb. And he has to hand over that title deed to a man, to a messenger, who will be living or who is living at the time when that is taking place. So, that event cannot be carried out and be fulfilled in a messenger who already departed. In order to carry out the claiming work, that instrument must be alive. Just like in order to carry out the work of redemption 2,000 years ago, the instrument through whom he carried out the work of redemption had to be alive. It's as simple as that. Now, he goes on to say, and that is how the full fulfillment of the coming of the angel of the covenant of Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit manifested in his church through his angel messenger. And that will be in the Jewish age. Remember that this will be outside of the dispensation of grace. That is what he told us in the 70 weeks of Daniel on page 106, which would be the 123, which is page 91 from the book in English. That is where he tells us that that will be carried out in that Jewish age. Look, it says in the 94th paragraph, it says, now, my Pentecostal brethren, now my Jehovah Witness brethren, do you realize? Do you know where the 144,000 appeared? Do you know where all the great miracles of Revelation appeared? Over in the Jewish age. And there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and below that he draws the ages. Not in ours. See, it is not in the seventh age, which pertains to the dispensation of grace. There is nothing recorded in it, just the church getting ready and going out. And below he writes, in this margin here, in this book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, the great miracles equals for the Jewish age. Sure, with the power of God, we do miracles and exploits. We know that. But the real thing was over here to the Jews. I mean, the real working power, miracle working. And he draws to the left a cornerstone and the ages. Now, our brother William goes on to say a little bit further on this same message that we are reading, the mystery of adoption. Now, we can see that Christ will have a veil of flesh here on earth in the midst of his church to manifest himself on the last day, which is his angel messenger, through whom he would be making known to us all these things that must shortly come to pass, and thus he will be calling and gathering together his elect and preparing us to be adopted in this end time. He will place us in the age of and for the adoption, which is the age of the cornerstone. Notice that it is that messenger who places the church bride in the age of adoption, that is, outside the dispensation of grace. The age of the mountaintop, and when the adoption takes place, notice the things that will be happening. I read to you where he says, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back. He's on page 119 from the book of quotations in the paragraph 1057. He has been reading it earlier a few minutes ago in this same message, right away dropping back. And he says, the same that happened to John the Baptist. And now notice, he also said it here on page 474 and 475, which is page 552 from the book of the seals in English, where it says, and there he reads that part, it may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we are expecting to rise on the scene may arise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take the people back to the Word has laid a foundation. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time. And in this book of the seals, the blue one, he writes here on that page, 552 from the book in English. And let's have the other one here, the red one as well. Because, look, on 552, where it says, if it is, here he writes, the angel of Jesus. And in this other one, let's see here. Here he writes, in this brief part here, foundation, and he writes in small letters to the right, he writes, foundation. Now, he continues saying, there won't be two of us here at the same time. And Brother William says, what is he talking about? About another man that will come. And he continues reading, see, if it is, he'll increase and I'll decrease. I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. And there, on look and see, he writes, in the tent. And what it was, he writes, Moses. Because it is a dispensational ministry. And that ministry comes, the Son of Man comes with his angels. In other words, there is the ministry of Moses, and there is the ministry of Elijah and of Jesus. But I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. See, unfold to that much. And Brother William says, and all of that is linked to the tenth vision. All of that is the third pool. Now, we continue to read here, it says, and he continues reading from page 119 in the paragraph 1057. It says, we are right at the age now, and it cannot be, can't go any further. We have to wait just a minute until this happens over here. Now notice in this book of quotations on page 3b, paragraph 32, here Reverend William Branham tells us, page 3b, paragraph 32, it says, soon there is something greater than this coming. It'll soon be here. It'll be marvelous then, if the Lord willing. How many have read my last vision that's been wrote up in the magazine? Wait till you see that take place. Then this will be minor. What the Lord's fixed, it'll just keep going on and on and on and on. Jesus is coming. The time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to great things to happen. How many read the sermon? When the omnipotence speaks, miracles happen. Did you? You believe that? Certainly. Omnipotent spoke at every junction, and when the church cooled off, and then omnipotence spoke, meaning in each dispensational interlace, and also of ages, miracles takes place. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left. And this is the junction of all junctions. This is the end time, because it is the time of the change of the dispensation of grace to the dispensation of the kingdom, and it is the change of kingdom. That is why he says that it is the junction of all junctions. This is the end time. The end of the whole history of the world right now is at hand. It is the end of the history of the world, notice, because it is the end of the kingdom of the Gentiles. So, you can expect omnipotence to speak, and you can expect the greatest and mightiest miracles that's ever happened on the earth will happen in the next few years to come. If Jesus tarries, it will be. He writes above that paragraph, in every junction of ages and dispensation, God speaks. The end of history, the time of gathering. In every junction of ages and dispensation, God speaks. The end of history, the time of gathering. Also on page 56 of this book of quotations, on paragraph 490, it tells us, do you know where the 144,000 appeared? Do you know where all the great miracles of Revelation appeared? Over in the Jewish age, not in ours. There is nothing recorded in it, just the church getting ready and going out, sure. With the power of God, we do miracles and exploits. We know that. We know that, but the real thing was over here to the Jews. I mean, the real working power, miracle working. That was the portion of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And here, look. He tells us, he writes to us on the left side upwards, he writes, the Jewish age, the great miracles. And on top he writes, the great miracles, Jewish age, Moses and Elijah. The great miracles are for that ministry, notice. Now, our brother William goes on to say, and now, notice, they could not come up here. Instead, they had to wait here, in this gap between the seventh age and the age of the cornerstone, until the moment came. To what? To come up here. In other words, he's showing there the drawing of the pyramid, and it could not be here. And he points to the seventh age, and they had to wait here. And there it is. He is pointing to the gap between the seventh age and the age of the cornerstone, because the most holy place was under construction. The person could not go in there under construction. That is why one doesn't in the places, for example, a house that is going to be built. You're not going to have the family to live there when the foundation hasn't been laid yet, or the walls haven't been put up, or after putting up that, the roof hasn't been put on it, and there are no posts holding up the false ceiling to support the roof. You're not going to bring people in there to sleep in sleeping bags and everything, because it's under construction. Well, That's how it is in the church of the Lord. It is built with living stones, with human beings. And that is where we reach what God has promised regarding to the adoption of the sons and daughters of God. Then he says, we must wait until the time comes to what? To come up. And that going up is already with that manifestation of the lion. It's going up with the claiming work. One couldn't go up to the age of the cornerstone under the manifestation of the Lamb of God, under the manifestation of the dispensation of grace, under the manifestation of redemption. And that is where we reach what God has promised with regarding to the adoption of the sons and daughters of God. And our brother William keeps reading from the paragraph 1057, page 119. And then when that time comes, and the press comes to a place to where you are pressed out, then watch out. And brother William says, meaning that's the squeeze. Then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. And Brother William says, or rather, he keeps reading there, watch the third pool then, see? And it'll be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and for the church. And now our Brother William says, in other words, it will cover the lost who have no opportunity for salvation. It will also cover the church, the virgins that did not have oil in their lamps. And it will also cover the church bride, which are the wise virgins who have oil in their lamps. In other words, they have the Holy Spirit. They have the new birth. And it will also impact the Hebrew people, because when they see that manifestation, they will say, this is the one we are waiting for. They will see Christ manifested in all his fullness in that Son of God, in that Son of Jesus Christ, whom he will adopt at the last day. That is a very great mystery that is made known at this end time to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something. Let's look here on page 16, verse 122, it says. Now, look. In this paragraph that he's reading to us, or he is going to read to us now, let's look for it, because he made some writings there on page 16, paragraph 122. He reads that portion to us, and it says, I was just inspired to speak them words and say that some glorious day all of the gifts that is in the church will just be set aside on the mantle, as it was, and the Holy Spirit himself will just take the church in such a control of divine love. And on the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and in the cornerstone he writes, love. Until the sick will be healed, the blind will see, the lame will walk without being hands laid on them. It'll just be one great unity. Notice where it indicates to us that that great unity will be. Now, on the left, he writes upwards into lines in the tenth vision, and he writes, divine love. And at the beginning of that paragraph, he drew a Star of David. And on top, he writes the tenth vision on the eighth day. Gifts will be removed. Divine love will take the church, the sick healed. All of that is above that paragraph, the tenth vision on the eighth day. Gifts will be removed. Divine love will take the church, the sick healed. Now, our brother William goes on to say, in other words, for this end time, there won't be a need to lay hands on the sick, nor even to pray for them, but instead to speak the creative word that is promised to happen at this end time. Let's look a little further on so that you have a clear picture of the things that we are waiting to be fulfilled according to what God has promised. Now, notice, many are waiting for all of that, but in their own way, before reading that quote that he shows us there, let's go to the message, the indictment, on page 52, where Brother Branham narrates to us a case that took place there. It says, page 44, at the bottom, from the message in English, it says, big churches and denominations is his new Calvary. I say it again, this, their mother striptease, are their choirs. The high priest of each denomination cries out like the high priest of that day, now come down and shows us a miracle. There on the left upwards, he writes, they ask for a miracle. That was the first crucifixion. It is the same today. I've had them saying, well, now you rise the dead, don't you? Why don't you go up there? You got a wife in the graveyard. You got a baby up there. That, notice, the same thing that happened in the first coming of the Lord. It happened in Brother Branham's time, and it happens in this time as well, because it is the same spirits that are working, but in other characters. They said to him, we heard you rise the dead. We got a graveyard full of them up here. That is, that was said to Jesus. Come, rise them. Oh, ignorance will breed ignorance. See? There on the right upwards, he writes, make a squirrel, etc. Today, big churches, big choirs, high priests of this day, come down, shows us a miracle that our denomination cannot do. I had a man not long ago, and he narrates here this case that made, I had a man not long ago that made a remark on a, after a little broadcast that I had, Jonesboro, Alaska, telling about some woman getting healed. Now, he is telling, narrating that, that a woman was healed. This fellow belonged to a certain denomination of church, and he got up behind there and said, I challenge any man to bring me and show me a miracle. I went and got a doctor. A man had been cured with cancer. I went and got a woman that had been in a wheelchair for about 20 years. She was healed of arthritis. Now, notice, in Brother Branham's time, there was a person who had been in a wheelchair for 20 years. And notice, also, in the ministry of Moses and Elijah, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, we also see a person lying on a stretcher. And she narrates and says, as a testimony, that she had been bedbound for 20 years. She was healed of arthritis. Now, she was healed, and this, in the vision, she will also be healed, because notice, it is seen that she enters and comes out healed. That is, she enters lying in the stretcher, and she comes out standing and pushing out her own stretcher. Now, remember, notice that the scripture says, arise, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and who? Christ will give you light. Meaning, notice, the Anointed One. In other words, all of that is also of great significance in the spiritual realm, where the church has been sleeping and enters in the secret chamber, the king's chamber, into the edge of the cornerstone with the come up hither, and then we see her awake, standing, and you see the part of that stretcher which represents the grave, death, where we are going to overcome by our transformation. In other words, we will not see death. And also, those who will be resurrected, they will be raised from the graves. Even the ministry of Moses and Elijah, notice, it is shown, represented there, which, according to the prophecy of Revelation 11, after his ministry, they kill him. But notice, after 3 days, he is raised. He resurrected. Now, he continues to say, she was healed of arthritis, being in a wheelchair. I took it over and said, now I want the money, $1,000, because that is what he was being offered if he showed him, if he showed that person someone that had been healed. Well, he did find someone. He said, well, it is in here. It's in Waco, Texas, where our headquarters is. Meaning, no, we don't have the money here to give it to you. That is there in Waco, Texas. I said, all right, we'll just go over there and get it. I said, you make the arrangements and we'll go tomorrow, see? I said, we'll mail. I said, here's a doctor to say that these people absolutely had cancer. Here's the list of the x-rays. Here's this woman that the whole neighborhood knows that she sat in a wheelchair for 20 years and she is walking right now. And the doctors has been doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor and everything. And here she is alive today. Now, you said you'd give it $1,000. I want to put in the missionary funds. I want it, see? He said, well, it's over at Waco, Texas. I said, we'll go tomorrow. He said, wait a minute, let me tell you something. And then he starts to notice it's because an unbeliever is always an unbeliever. Then he starts to look at what the unbeliever says. I will take a little girl with me and let me take a razor and cut her arm. And then you heal it before our brethren and they will give you the money. Look, I said, you're a devil. Because those people who speak that way, who express themselves that way, but shows us miracles, show me a miracle, show me this, show me that. I bet you won't do this, I bet you won't do that. When hundreds of miracles have already happened, notice, he categorized that. Those people as devils. It's devils in those people. If thou be the Son of God, come off of this cross. Because there he talks about what they said there to Jesus back then. Tell us who hit you with a rag around his head. Hit him on it. Said, now if you're the prophet, tell us if thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross. There he draws a Star of David on the right. Blind, leaders of the blind, they need mental healing, a man that do things like that, or make a remark like that, certainly. All those who make comments like that are mentally ill. They need that mental healing, because notice, those are spirits of the fifth dimension, which those people are possessed by. And once they are done, those spirits using them, these people are left, many of them end up crazy. That happened in Brother Branham's time, and also in our Brother William's time at the beginning. And it's the same at this time. And on the left, upwards, he writes, those who ask for a sign. The familiar old cry, though, let us see you do a miracle, Master. We will desire a miracle from you. When every day, every hour, it was happening right along, just as God would lead it to be done. But they wasn't present. If they was, meaning, if they were present when that happened, if they was, they called it Beelzebub, the devil, see? Master, we desire if you do it in the way we want you to do it. That's it. Go where we want you to go. Do what we want. Oh, yes, They had no strings on him. And today, the Holy Spirit isn't bound to anyone either, nor to any denomination. No, sir. That's the reason they had to get him out of their midst. In other words, they didn't accept that word. They didn't accept the man who had the word, which was Jesus. And in every age, the unbelievers also reject the portion relevant to the word in each messenger. And at this end time, they do the same thing. Since it is not in their way, they reject it. They take it out of their midst. They take it out of their heart. And the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell there because they take it out. They don't receive it. Yes, sir. They are trying to do the same thing today. And through the Federation of Churches, they'll finally accomplish to do it. See, all of them going together, the familiar old cry. Now, notice what our brother William is going to read here, which is the form, the way, in which God will be fulfilling all of that. Let us take a look at page 38 from the book of Quotations, verse 15. There he's going to read that portion of page 38 of the book of Quotations. In the paragraph 315, our brother William reads, "All the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting to a spot to where that the sickness will be arise, and it will be that way. The blind will receive their sight, deaf and dumb." And Brother William says, that is, they will be healed. "We pray for them now, but then you'll command it." And Brother William says, meaning it won't be by praying, but by commanding, as it was under the ministry of Jesus. Now look here in the book of Quotations, he writes above, at the top of the mountain, the manifestations of the children of God, "You will command, not pray." And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he also writes at the bottom, he writes, the adoption equals, that is what we need, "You will command." Now, he goes on to say here, let's see something here in a place, let's see on page 16, let's see on paragraph here from this page, paragraph 115, look, it says, there is only one thing that will conquer the devil, that's pure divine love. And he draws a Star of David on the left. Love will conquer everything. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes above, divine love. God so loved the world, it conquered the sin question. It conquered the sickness question. It'll conquer the difference in the church. It'll conquer everything there is unlike it to be conquered. It'll do it if you'll just let it do it. And there to the left he writes, love. And below he writes, speak. See? And on the right, halfway through the paragraph, under the cornerstone and the ages that he drew there, he writes, Mark 11. And at the top he writes, he draws a cornerstone on the top, and he writes, love, and he writes, divine love equals, will conquer the enemy. It will do it if you say so. And he also writes, speak. Why do you cry? If you speak, and it will happen, he writes. Look, because it is by the spoken word. The third pull is the spoken word. And if the third pull is in you, well, you will speak, you will command, and things will be done. They will be done as you have said so. Now, our brother William goes on, continues to speaking about that reading, and he says, in which part does the scripture says that Jesus, when sick people came to him to be healed, in which part does it say that Jesus prayed for them and said, Heavenly Father, heal this sick man? Jesus spoke the word and they were healed on some occasion. He even laid hands on them and they were healed. Now, it goes on to say, if you say to this mountain, not if I say, if you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, what we need is adoption. On page 135 of the book of Quotations, on paragraph 1208, it tells us, or 1206 of this book of Quotations, There it tells us. This is the third pool, and it's speaking the word. I am on page 135, paragraph 1206, and it's speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection, the Son of Man. This is so, or is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon, would you not? Escape all of these things. It's got a ditto there. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21. Now, my dear friend, see? Before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Now, my dear friend, see? Now, I think here that you got a good statement. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so, you said, Brother Branham. In other words, here's what I believe I can make it a little clearer to the people, see? You are believing because of the spoken words, and things like that he said about, and all of you are witness of the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things in like that. And at the bottom he writes, squirrels created by the word. A dash, spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone. Squirrels created by the word, the spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone. And he continues to say, do these things here. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go and do this. And he draws a Star of David to the right. And there where it says, you go and do this, he circles that and underlines it. Notice, on page 135, on top of the paragraph 1206, which we just read, he writes, standing before the Son of Man, the third pool equals speaking the word. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, that is how it will be when we are adopted. In other words, it will be the creative word being spoken. All of this is promised to be fulfilled when? At this end time. This is the greatest and most glorious time of and for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the time when we will all be adopted according to God's promise. In the message, the greatest battle ever fought, on page 27, look, Reverend William Branham tells us here, he says, he anoints, let's see here, let's go a bit before, he says, hallelujah, God will heal you right in this atmosphere of this Holy Ghost where he sent you. God will give it to you. Just believe it. Amen. Open up then flues of the soul and body, senses and conscious, and just let God's word penetrate first. Take that mind. There is the battleground. And he writes in the mind, and he draws a cornerstone. Not say, well, if I could feel it, if I'd feel the glory of God falling, oh, that has nothing to do with it. Not a thing. Open up that mind. That's the battleground. There is where the battle sets in array. Right here, in the front line, your mind. That is the struggle that many have had in past times, and also in our time, where we also see that battle between those two worlds, between those two dimensions. And we have to, like the Indian man said, the one in the story of the black dog and the white dog, and he asked him, but which one is winning and which one would win or which one wins? And he says, the one that you feed more. The white dog represents the good one, and the bad one is the black one, is the evil one. Now notice, such is the battle in the mind. It depends on what you lend your ear to the most. Like what we were saying yesterday, it all depends on who you're speaking with in your mind. If you speak with the spirit contrary to the word of God and to the work that God is carrying out, well, you're feeding the black dog. And also with conversation, if you speak with people who have spirits of the fifth dimension, who will be black dogs, if you speak with those people, well, you would be then speaking with and feeding that black dog that you have. See? There is where the battle sets in array, right there in the front line, your mind. Open it up and say, every doubt, I doubt my doubts. So, look at how you can identify if you're speaking with the devil, having a conversation with the devil. Well, if you're having a conversation, however it may be, with a person that is against the work that God is carrying out, then you are chatting with the devil. So be very careful about who you speak with or who you write to or do things with, because you will be identified as a person who is speaking, having a conversation with the devil. Stop speaking with the devil. Instead, leave those things, don't pay any attention, and speak with God. Speak with people who are in line with the work of God, with God's program. Because if not, you will be feeding the black dog. It says, open it up and say, I doubt my doubt. And he writes there, I doubt my doubts. Amen. I'm doubting my doubts now. I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something is going to take place. Sure, it will. Yes, sir. He anoints his servants with his spirits. He sends them angels, and he writes messengers above. People make fun of that. Sometimes angels, let me just turn to something here with you, just a minute. Let's turn over to Hebrews, just a minute. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the first chapter, and let's turn to the 14th verse. Are not all these ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And he draws a cornerstone at the ages to the right, which one of the angels did he say, see thou on my right hand? With all the angels of God. Now, here in the Bible comes right back and tells us here that God sends forth angels, glory, what they are, ministering spirits, glory, ministering spirits sent where? From the presence of God. What to do? Minister His word, amen. They are not ministered to some theology of some denomination group, but to minister His word. That's it. Ministering spirits sent forth. And there he writes on the left towards the top, he writes, ministering spirits bring the word to the prophets, Hebrews 1. How do we know they are? The Bible said that the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. And there on the left upwards he writes, angels. Is that right? These angels minister His word through His Spirit, minister the word through the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit and the word came to the prophets, and the prophets had the word of God. That's the reason they could do the miracles that they did. It wasn't the man. It was the Spirit of God in the man, the Spirit of Christ in the man, for the word of God, an ellipsis. What had He done? There on the left he writes, miracles, cleaned out every channel. God had chose him, and he was anointed with the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't him. Notice, what had the Spirit of Christ done in that man? He had cleaned out every channel, And he was the anointed with the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't him anymore. It wasn't that person anymore. That, rather, the Holy Spirit was in him. He never did anything till he saw it in a vision. Elijah said on Mount Carmel, now, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, look, Brother Branham saw all of that in a vision. We are seeing it as a reality. We are seeing the reality of that vision. We don't need a vision to see what God is fulfilling or will be fulfilling later on. We will see it, and we are seeing it, and we will see what is yet to be seen face to face. Elijah said on Mount Carmel, all this I've done at your command. Now, Lord, let it be known that thou art God. Oh, glory to God. Elijah said on Mount Carmel, all I've seen done at your command. Now, Lord, let it be known that thou art God. Oh, glory to God. I've seen it so many times when you see the Spirit of God strike a place and that place get under the anointing. If this little group in here this morning just could just take this mind here, get every doubt out of the way, how can you doubt anymore? When you see the dead rise up, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. There on the left he writes, dead rise up, blind see, lame walk. The angel of the Lord, even his picture hanging here on the wall, has got signs stumped everywhere. What does he do? Stay right in the word, amen. It cuts every devil. How do you cut every devil in you? By staying with the word. Not with people's interpretations of what God should do or what God is supposed to fulfill at this end time. Yes, it does. What is it? The ministering spirits sent from the presence of God to anoint the speakers of the word that stays with the word, and he confirms the word with signs following, brings Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. There he is. And on the right upwards, he writes, ministering spirits. Now, our brother William continues to say here in the message I am reading, the mystery of the adoption. He continues to say, now, look, let's see here, because he wrote something in the front of the book, in this message, The Greatest Battle. He writes, so that it is included there in the study as well. He writes, the angels, and above he writes, prophets, are ministering spirits, and above he writes, they minister the spirit of the word. And continues, sent to anoint ministers, prophets, and they can work miracles and bring the word. The angels, and he writes, prophets, are ministering spirits, and he writes, they minister the spirit of the word, sent to anoint ministers, prophets, and they can work miracles and bring the word. Now, our brother William continues to say, now, he has to use man to carry out his work, and he has to have the man, the messenger, relevant to that time, and he has to prepare him so that he can be the instrument that will be used by God. This, in the Book of the Ages, he speaks about this. Look, on page 265, which is 241 from the Book of the Ages in English, he tells us, as we have already stated, Jesus identifies himself with the messenger of each age. They receive from him the revelation of the word for each period. This word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into full union with Jesus Christ. These messengers are called stars because they shined with the borrowed or reflected light of the sun, even Jesus. They are also called stars because they are holders of light at night. Thus, in the darkness of sin, they bring the light of God to his people. And there he draws a Star of David in the first sentence, where next to Jesus identifies himself with the messenger. There he, on the right, he draws a Star of David. And halfway through the paragraph, he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right. Regarding that as well, on page 168 to 169, he speaks to us about the order of how God brings the word. Look, page 156 from the Book of the Ages in English. Later you can read that other portion, but look, it says, page 156 from the Ages in English. In every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. There on the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them from 1 to 7. The ages, and the number 8 in the age of the cornerstone. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. In Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? They add here or take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. See, he doesn't have many. He only has one. And then those helpers, wonderful fellow collaborators, spread what the messenger has spoken. Now, our brother William goes on to say, in other words, an adoption and a revival doesn't come just like that. But God has to have the man and prepares that man to bring the revival for that age or for that dispensation. And he has to prepare him as he prepared Moses. And as he prepared each one of his messengers relevant to each time, to each age. On page 26 of the Book of Quotations, on the paragraph 218, look, it says, and so we tonight want to think on that and remember that in the midst of all this cry, God cannot send a revival till he's got man in shape to take it. And before we can have this revival, God has to call out and train men. God trained men to carry this message. And above he writes, a man for a revival. He draws a cornerstone at the beginning of that paragraph, a little cornerstone. And also halfway through the paragraph, he draws a cornerstone on the left and the ages. Now, our brother William continues to say, he must have that man being prepared at this end time to be adopted, and he must have all the children of God who will be adopted at this time. He has to have them at this time present in the midst of his church and being prepared, being taught in order to be adopted. In the Book of the Ages on page 175 from the book in English, Reverend William Branham tells us there, how can you tell the spirits apart? Just give them the word test. If they do not speak that word, they are of the evil one. As the evil one deceived the first two brides, and he writes there, Eve on the left, he will try to deceive the bride of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. And on the right he writes, signs. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. And he draws a Star of David on the right, as when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord. When she did as the word said, the proper sign came. Come to the word first, and then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. And he writes on the left, first comes the word, and then the miracle. Notice, first, she served him, Elijah, and then the miracle came. Now, also in this message, titled The Spoken Word, is the original seed on page 69. Look, it tells us, Reverend William Branham tells us, God never placed signs ahead of His word. Amen. That's a scorcher. And there, at the beginning, He draws a star of David at the beginning of that paragraph. God never placed signs ahead of His word. They were added for proof of the word. But the word is first. And He writes below the word, then comes the miracle. Notice, that is why in the third pool, He says that it is the word being spoken. Because the greatest thing, the greatest miracle, is revelation. And the greatest miracle at this time is that God is giving us the miracle of opening the seventh seal, bringing us the revelation of His coming. That is the greatest miracle, because that is the content that gives every elect of God the rapture in faith. Then afterwards, they will see. The miracle will be seen, although they are already happening. But notice, the great miracle and the greatest miracle is revealing the word, being spiritually healed. To prove it, Elijah said to the woman, "Bake me a cake first, then watch the miracle happen." Come to the word first, then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. Now, our brother William goes on to say here a little bit further on this same message that I am reading, the mystery of the adoption. He says, "Therefore, we can see that the blessing is going to be very great. And if we need more land, well, He will continue to provide us with more land, and not only here, but in all places where He is going to manifest His power and perform great wonders and miracles. And if the messenger of our age has to personally go, notice, if he has to go personally, then that messenger has to be alive in the midst of the church, which God is already fulfilling a large part of all of that. And God is carrying everything out in simplicity, carrying out all those international miracles, because they are the greatest. It is bringing the word, the revelation, giving the rapture in faith to the elect. Then the miracles will be seen. Although, as I told you, many have already been happening. Many people have been healed. In addition to being healed spiritually, they have been physically healed as well. And they have glorified God for what God has done in their lives. He says, and if the messenger of our age has to personally go, for in those places God will have enough space to accommodate the people who will be there. And the rest, well, through television, because at that time of that manifestation, everything that will be happening will be so great and so important that it will be the main news for the human race. On page 59 from the Book of Quotations, on the paragraph 520, Reverend William Branham tells us, let the people, let that little flock, that little remnant, let that little flock, that little remnant, I'm going to read that again, let the people, let that little flock, that little remnant, that God will give him, let that little remnant to go calling out to God and watch what happens. There will be a national showdown. There will be a power that they never seen before. Trouble of it is, this time it's going to be too late for them then. The doors will be closed. And below he writes, the doors will be closed. And above he writes, the elect to cry out to God. And there is a place in a Bible study that they put that that paragraph for him where he writes that portion of the Book of Quotations, and in a Bible study he writes, preach the word, then it will come. The miracles will follow the revealed word. See? Preach the word, then it will come. The miracles will follow the revealed word. Our brother William continues to say, now, all of that is under a mystery. Under the mystery of the seventh seal, under the mystery of the coming of the white horse rider of Revelation 19, which is the coming of the Word, the Holy Spirit, the Word incarnate, in a man, in the messenger relevant to the dispensation of the kingdom and age of the cornerstone. on page 139 of the Book of Quotations, in the paragraph 1239, it tells us, this question here is this, will there be miracles done by the bride? Yes, sir. It's being done right now. That's right. See? But don't look for something that great or bring the heavens and close the heavens. It rain not. That goes into the Jews. And above he writes, great miracles in nature are for the Jews. And our brother William goes on to say, see how simple everything is? See how simple the mystery of adoption is? Now, there are some things that are still not open, but from what he has allowed us to see, we already know where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that will be adopted at this end time will be. Where will she be? There, he is already saying the place where she will be. In some places, he says, we are, and in other places, where will she be? Where will the church bride get to? Where will she be? In the age of the cornerstone. And we know who will be the messenger for the age of the cornerstone through whom Christ will be manifested. Things that in past ages people who lived and believed in Christ were not able to understand completely. They were not able to understand which was their age and who was the messenger of their age. They were not able to understand completely, but despite that, each age was fulfilled, and the elect of each age came, and now the elect of the age of the cornerstone are coming. Notice, and today, we couldn't see before. We thought it was when Brother Branham was alive. Then, once he departed, we thought he could return. I said, we thought, due to the people who thought that at that time, because I still wasn't born when that happened, but notice, it was thought that Brother Branham was the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. Later came, God sent that mighty messenger bringing us the good tidings, and notice, we also thought that he was the one, but God took him, not him either. But now we can see who it is, and we can be aware of where we are. We are in the stage of the adoption, the age of the cornerstone. In the message, the end time sign seed, on page 13, look, he tells us, what did Elijah tell the woman that he went to? With nothing but a handful of meal, he said, make me a cake first, then go start. The miracle will happen after you take God's word first. And he writes there on the right, the miracles. You begin to believe God's word, and then the miracles takes place on the word, because the word is the seed that brings forth the miracle. God to take the word first. The Holy Spirit gives it life, like water falling from the heaven. First, take the word, because it is the omnipotent speaking at this end time. And then, those miracles, international miracles and wonders will be seen, which many want to see before the word. Remember that it's the word first and then the miracles. The miracles follow the word. Let's stand and let's live in this subject. When the omnipotent speaks, miracles happen. Let's live with us, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.